Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hated in. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
All right, all right, all right. That's our guy, Mr. Keith Wright. Welcome to another Fans for the Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, promise you another wonderful show, a show full of information, a show full of resources, a show that makes you think a little bit. It makes you wonder, where are you and where are we as parents in this world called sports, in the sporting industry, as it pertains to our children, you know, and our, and their day-to-day activities and, you know, their livelihood and, you know, things that they wanted to do in sports. You know, if you want to reach out to us, give us a call. You can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095, and we always look forward to hearing from everybody out there here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, I'm M.H. Scott. I'm your host here on the Parents for the Parents Network, and we're going to be talking about something today that was recently brought to my attention. While I was watching what's the name of the show? Outside the Lines. I don't know if any of you had a chance to see Outside the Lines today, Sunday being the 14th. And let me shout out to all the moms and dads out there and all the folks out there to a wonderful Valentine's Day. But let me highlight something that was on Outside the Lines. Outside the Lines had a piece on today, and if you get a chance to go back, take a look at the podcast, you'll find it to be very interesting. Outside the Lines had a piece on today that talked about a coach who coaches high school ball somewhere out in the Midwest. And somewhere, you know, during the course of the play, and he had a grudge match, a grudge against a particular player, a young lady. He coaches the female, young basketball players. And in coaching these ladies, he had a grudge against another female player from another team. And, you know, referred to her as the chosen one and the golden child and, you know, all these other little things that you wouldn't think that a high school coach would be trying to push upon his players. You know, I find it to be kind of odd, kind of out of place, you know, that you would have a high school coach that would be out there trying to push this on his players. That to me in itself is a question to, you know, what a coach is doing nowadays. So in doing all this, and just to give you a quick synopsis of what took place and why this became a question in my mind. And I guess my biggest question to everyone out there today would be, what would you have done as a parent had you had known that this was deliberately set up to happen the way that it did? What am I talking about? What's the conversation? What's the piece of it or point of issue here? He had one of his players during an inbound play told the player to simply aim the ball at the young lady's face and hit her in the nose with the ball, simply to take her out of the game. Really? Was it that serious? Does high school sports have become that competitive? You know, why would you deliberately attempt to take a player out of the game, you know, by doing some underhanded stuff like that, you know, hitting the young lady with the ball in the face? Come on now. I'm really baffled by this. I am really and truly baffled by this because of the simple fact that it happened. And as you watch the videos, you've seen the video piece where he's he talking to the young ladies in the huddle and basically telling them to, you know, hey, hit her in the face with the ball. And during the inbound play, first couple of times they attempted, she stopped it. First couple of times she deflected it. One other girl got a steal off it and they scored. So then you had one of her fellow players signal to her to hit her in the face with the ball deliberately. And that's what happened. The girl threw the ball directly at her face. And in doing so, I don't know if it broke her nose, but, you get hit in the face with the ball directly right there above the bridge of your nose or on your nose, it's going to sting, bring tears to your eyes, so on and so forth. But the girl maintained her composure. She turned, she looked at the referee, had to say, hey, what in the world? What's going on here? And, she just checked the nose to make sure that she was okay, and she just kept on moving. But for a coach to deliberately, tell another player to throw the ball and hit another child in the face, there's a problem. There's a real problem, King Ranks, if coaches have resorted to that. That could have been a very ugly situation. Had that girl that got hit in the face with the ball been a hot-tempered young lady and decided to go after the other girl, you don't see that often in girls' basketball. But had it been a boys' game, that could have been a problem. Could have been a real problem. But the coach is claiming that, he's just simply told, his player to throw the ball and, hey, if it hits her in the face, it just hits her in the face, oh, well, throw the ball. But as the little girls girls on the team stated this morning, girls on his team stated this morning that he gave specific instructions to throw the ball at the young lady's face, to hit her in the face with the ball. And even showed that one of his players, when they went to inbound the ball, pointed towards her nose as, hey, go ahead and do what the coach said, hit her in the nose. shortly thereafter, what happened? The player hit her in the nose. Asking you the question. I'm really puzzled, really baffled. What would you have done? What would you have done had that been your child? What would you have done had that went down the way it went down? Would you have just simply sat back and watched? Or would you have addressed the issue, brought some attention to it, showed some concern about it? You know, this happened over a year ago. I think it was a team out in Oklahoma. And since then, the young lady that it happened to, she has gone on. She's now playing college ball at Oklahoma State. I want to say her last name is Holt. So she's doing pretty good playing ball at Oklahoma State. But what would we have done as parents, or should there have been anything done by the parents? You know, there was a call this evening. Chime in on the conversation. 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Love to hear your thoughts on this particular conversation. Love to hear your thoughts. You're joining M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Coach of Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. All right, there. One of my audio tracks are playing. I'm starting to wonder now if I'm even online. I know the show is running. Got my switchboard up and running. Trying to wonder if we're even getting out to our faithful listening audience out there, as they would say, in radio land. But I like to look at it. Are we getting out to our audience out there? And the world of entertainment. Yeah. We're here at the Parents Coach of Parents Network, and I'm kind of puzzled if we are doing anything. I tried to play a couple of my audio tracks and haven't been able to get through, or it doesn't appear that it's being played. Hope I haven't lost internet connection. But check us out. We're here on Blog Talk Radio, and we love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear what's going on in your mind, your world. See how things are working out for you. You know, if you got a topic or a conversation piece that you'd like to bring up, then we're more than happy to chain that piece and that question and just see exactly what's on your mind. You know, this is All-Star Weekend, and, you know, high schools are ramping up to go into their conference play, and then after the conference play, the regional play, and getting ready for you know, state tournaments and things like that, just to see who fares well. But it's always some interesting information out there and interesting opportunities for our kids to see what's going on with them. So, again, give us a call, 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear your thoughts here on the Parents Coach Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. As always, we're interested in knowing what's going on in the world of the parents. Parents of the athletes. Parents of the athletes. You know, I had a friend share with me a piece earlier. Let's see if I can find it. I think there may be suffering some internet problems here. If all of a sudden, now we seem to be spooling. So I don't know exactly what's going on. This is starting to become frustrating, experiencing these technical difficulties. Because that is not something that should be happening. Yep. So I need to see what's going on. I need to really get a feel for whether or not I'm even on the air. Going on. Well, hopefully I'll reconnect it back into the show. I'm not sure exactly. 917-889-8095. Give us a call. Let me see whether or not you are able to connect with us here on Blog Talk Radio. I don't see if we're doing anything on the network here. It seems like, let me see if this is playing. It seems like my music will play.
Okay.
You hear that?
That means it's me.
Not playing.
At your own.
Okay, I'm not sure what's going on here. Can't get any of my audio tracks to play. Let me see if I can switch to my computer instead of my iPad. Well, folks, you know, I was talking about the issue of where you have coaches that, you know, are doing no senseless things as far as telling their children to go out there and hit another child in the face with the ball. Help me understand that. Help me understand what part of that is considered basketball. Help me understand what would you have done had it been your child and you sat there and witnessed this situation take place. Would you have just humbly sat there and very quietly, peacefully just sat there and just watched the whole thing unfold? Or would you have had something to say? You know, I know a number of parents that probably would have been out of the stands in a matter of seconds shortly after they watched it happen, especially if they thought it was done intentionally. Especially if they thought it was done intentionally. Love to hear your thoughts this evening, parents. Give us a call, 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. Here on Blog Talk Radio, Parents of the Parents Network. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, love to hear you. love to hear from you. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I think I have a few other callers that's on. I'm going to try something here. Let me see if I can. Oh, it seems to be up and running. Let me see if I can run my music from here. There you go.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, let them hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
With college athletes, but it's practice as young as kindergarten.
Go, Troy, go! Troy, go! Go!
Redshirting. Parents delaying the beginning of school for their children or repeating a grade to gain an eventual physical edge.
So this was just for sports.
It was just for sports.
What we looked at was you get very few opportunities in life that you can manufacture time.
We were in a position and had the opportunity to give him another year to work towards achieving his goal.
I think he's has the body to do well, and his, you know, physique, I guess. I mean, his body right now, he passes the eyeball test, I guess is the best way to put it.
Some, including a Hall of Fame coach, say redshirting just is not right.
You know, I have a trained eye, and watch the five-year-old, I can't figure out what we have there other than the five-year-old.
I just hate to be cast as this sports villain.
Today, Outside the Line.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, let them hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and wins 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
The images were stark, the conduct and language shocking. When the tapes of Mike Rice, coaching his Rutgers team at practice, were reported by Outside the Lines, Rice was fired within a day.
What was it like for you being in the center of that media storm?
You know, those first 24 hours were something I would wish upon no one.
Now, 2 years later, he's hoping and still waiting for a second chance.
Wow, great job.
How concerned are you that because of that sliver of your coaching past, you may never coach again?
There's concern every single day.
Today, Outside the Lines, repentant, still fiery, and still waiting, the vigil of Mike Rice.
And now, reporting for Outside the Lines, Bob Lee.
In short order, he went from a middling coach struggling to lift Rutgers to a winning program to a national poster child for coaching abuse. Mike Rice had already been suspended 3 games for his conduct in practice, but when the actual videotape of his actions and his language aired here on Outside the Lines, Rice was fired within a day. His case was satirized on Saturday Night Live, and then he was effectively exiled from his profession. All of that 26 months ago. Today, John Barr, in a report drawn from the upcoming Tuesday night OTL 25 anniversary program, will speak with Mike Rice about that time away and whether college basketball will give him the chance to demonstrate that he's not the coach immortalized in those infamous videotapes.
In a nondescript warehouse not far from the New Jersey shore, a self-described basketball lifer is doing the one thing he knows best.
Finish, people!
Teaching the game he loves.
Oh, nice, JP. Get your spot, big dog. Oh, that ain't your spot. Go, 3 times in a row.
Former Rutgers head basketball coach Mike Rice.
Who's got ball?
Humbled by more than 2 years away from the collegiate ranks.
Attack, attack, run!
On this night, coaches his son Michael's 17 and under AAU team.
Through the contact right. Excellent.
And he's
good.
As passionate.
Nice, go, 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 get!
And animated as ever.
Ryan, shoot the ball, Ryan Jensen.
Do you know any other way?
No. Whether it's my 17 and under AU basketball team or a group of fourth graders learning to dribble with two balls, the same passion and energy will be out.
This is how most of America got to know Mike Rice. April 2nd, 2013. Outside the Lines' first broadcast recordings from his practices at Rutgers University. Recordings that showed him hurling basketballs at his players, shoving and kicking them, and, in a few instances, using gay slurs.
It's a low light, but it's clearly something that you're always going to have to live with, something I'll have to deal with every single day. And embarrassment and disappointment aren't, they're not strong enough words.
The release of the video touched off a wave of media coverage.
A huge controversy is erupting tonight after ESPN broke a huge story.
ESPN's Outside the Lines obtained hours of video of Rutgers practice.
The disturbing video set off an avalanche of criticism, a New Jersey State Assemblyman demanding Coach Mike Rice be fired immediately.
What was it like for you being in the center of that media storm?
You know, those first 24 hours were something I would wish upon no one.
Just a day after Outside the Lines broke the story, Rice was fired. Within 3 days, his top assistant, Jimmy Martelli, also seen here on the videotape getting physical with players, the school's general counsel, and Rutgers athletic director Tim Pernetti all resigned as the fallout from the scandal spread.
You look in a mirror and say, how did I do this? How can I do this to my family?
What was the lowest point for you, Mike?
Walking into the house when I first saw them.
Your wife and kids?
Yeah, sure. It's my son's 15th Yeah, it was my son's 15th birthday. To let him know I did this to him, there's a reason why we're not, Michael, we're not going out with your friends. So that was the lowest point. You can't, nothing can ever prepare you to go into a house where your family's looking at you. Why is this happening?
When I did see the tape for the first time, I called Mike and said, well, you know you're getting fired, right?
Rob Kennedy didn't hesitate to reach out to Rice the day after the tape went public, telling his longtime friend he'd always have a job at Hoop Group, the basketball event planning and training facility in Neptune, New Jersey, that Kennedy owns and where Rice works today.
A lot of people didn't want anything to do with Mike Rice after that. You gave him a job. Why?
Because I've known Mike for 25 years, and I know that the Mike that was on the tape is not the Mike that I know, and not the Mike that, quite frankly, a ton of people in the basketball community know.
The road back, at least emotionally, for Rice has been paved with months of self-discovery. He spent a month and a half immersed in an anger management course and attended several meetings with a group that works to fight discrimination and bullying against gay students.
What have you learned about yourself in the last couple of years?
That someone who has an old school values and mentality towards things, whether it's basketball, life, discipline, can learn new school methods and techniques.
Come on, Clark, you got this. Low?
I want to be involved again.
Jack, you got to come up here. He's getting way too low too quickly.
I had to learn to forgive myself and then enjoy the game again.
Wow, great job.
There's nothing like being on the floor. There's nothing like being a coach.
Great separation, good job.
I'd like to be a part of something like that again.
Have fun. All right, let's go. Get on the baseline. Play for one another. Go.
In the last several months, Rice says, he's had a few conversations about college coaching jobs, but no offers.
Great pass.
How concerned are you that because of that sliver of your coaching past, you may never coach again?
There's concern every single day.
Somebody's got to believe in Mike Rice and his changes and things that he's done to, you know, develop and improve himself.
And so Mike Rice waits for a phone call and a second chance that may never come.
For the first time probably in my life, I'm unsure.
What do you mean?
I don't have exactly control. I knew I was going to be successful. I knew I was going to be a head coach. I had confidence. And now you don't know what the future is.
An uncertain future that he realizes is colored by his past.
What is Mike Rice's legacy?
That'll be interesting. Because it's one now that you see on on YouTube. It's something that a coach crossed the line. A coach was abusive to his players.
What do you want it to be?
Yeah, storybook ending where he learned from his mistakes. And that, you know what, he did learn. He did change. And that he changed for the better, and he became a positive influence.
Mike Rice today, still waiting. John Barr reports this story now, as he did 2 years ago. He joins me. John, that's an incredible level of a very personal emotion that it came out in your conversation.
Yeah, Bob, he was surprisingly emotional this far removed from it, and I guess it just really drives home the point that, you know, in that 24-hour period where he lost his job, his world came crashing down. This was a guy who was getting ready to coach a team in the Big Ten. Remember, Rutgers at that time was getting ready to enter into the Big Ten. It should have been a rising point in Mike Rice's life, and instead his world came to a crashing halt. And it just really hurts for him to relive it even today.
So as he's waiting for the phone to ring and possibly get back into the coaching profession, though, it's not that simple. He has some legal issues. He's being sued.
That's right. Yeah, he's actually being sued on multiple fronts. There are three former players suing in two separate lawsuits. One of those players, Derek Randall, actually brought a federal lawsuit against Mike Rice, Tim Pernetti, the athletic director, other Rutgers officials. He alleges that Rice both psychologically and physically abused him. In the lawsuit, it spells out how Randall has a learning disability. And then there's, of course, the lawsuit filed by a former director of player development, Eric Murdoch, who was the whistleblower in the Rutgers incident, who we'll hear from shortly. So, yes, he has plenty of legal issues as well.
So we're watching him work with younger athletes, candid moments, but you can see and feel and hear that edge, that there still is that Mike Rice ferocity, he says, trying to apply new school techniques to old school values. But you can certainly see an intensity there still.
And I think he would call it passion, and I think it is fair to call it passion. You know, one of the things he shared with us is that the technique that he wound up getting in trouble with was a training technique he borrowed from a Navy SEAL training manual, the whole notion of making his players comfortable in chaos, just the way drill sergeants make Navy SEALs, or prospective Navy SEALs, comfortable in chaos. And so that is why, he said, he used the intense language, the physical contact, to toughen up his players, who, after the first year, often crumbled when they would get into close games. He recognizes, of course, that he went too far, that he crossed the line, but it was an idea, he says, born of good intentions. And you can still see little slivers of that intensity today. He's as passionate about teaching the game of basketball as he's ever been.
Look, we know there's a lot of intensity in coaching. We hear stories. There have been other coaches, other incidents. What part of him, if any, says, well, I'm the guy that had the tape rolling, the tapes became public, I'm the guy that got nailed?
Yeah, there's a strong sense of that. In fact, he says he's heard from a number of his coaching colleagues around the collegiate ranks. It'll come as no shock to you or most people that some very colorful language is often used at college practices. Of course, he went to the added step of using gay slurs, but he has heard from others that they've used similar language, and he's aware of cases where other coaches have used similar language. And coaches have shared with him that they've had to change their ways. They just recognize there are some things they can't say, some things they can't do. And that is what one might refer to now, I guess, as the Mike Rice effect. It is real. And at least anecdotally, he's heard from a number of people who've shared with him that they've had to change.
Hey, John Barr, thanks so much. Appreciate it. If Mike Rice is waiting for the phone to ring for a possible job prospect, ESPN's Andy Katz will have a fix on whose finger, if anyone's, is about to hit send. Andy, in the college game, what's the buzz about this gentleman 2 years after the fact?
Well, right now, Bob, in talking to a number of head coaches and at least one athletic director, they told me that at the very best, he could maybe be an assistant coach, but it's highly unlikely. In fact, one head coach told me that you have to look at this a little differently. It's not a mistake, not like an NCAA violation like Bruce Pearl or Kelvin Sampson and how they were able to come back and be head coaches. This one coach told me it is a disturbed character flaw that Mike Rice has, and that's why it may make it very difficult for him to get another head coaching job or, in some instances, an assistant coaching job in Division One.
It all comes down to circumstance, contacts, as so many different things in life. In your estimation, and from what you've heard around the college game, what sort of a coach or who could make such a hire? What kind of a school or coach could make this work?
Well, I got some interesting responses. First of all, one head coach told me that it would have to be a coach that's got tons of equity, been there for a long time, and would have to be with Mike Rice on the floor, in the recruiting circles, on the road with him, really almost putting his arm around him in a figurative sense to guide him through this process. Another coach told me that it would have to be a place where he's very familiar, whether that's one of his former stops, whether that's Robert Morris, Pitt, St. Joe's, or even back where he played and was an assistant coach at Fordham. But the athletic director told me that we're in an era right now where public relations is most important, and it'd be very difficult even for an entrenched athletic director and president to make the hire of Mike Rice and go in front of a news conference and say, this is our guy going forward.
Very difficult, the assessment. Andy Katz, appreciate it. The Mike Rice situation was first brought to the attention of the Rutgers University administration 3 years ago by Eric Murdoch, who worked at that time as the player development director under Mike Rice. Eric played 9 seasons in the NBA. He was fired by Rice in 2012. He is suing Rice and Rutgers for what he claims was a wrongful dismissal. And Eric, it's good to speak with you. You heard John Barr's conversation. You heard the emotions expressed, the viewpoints expressed by Mike Rice. What's your reaction to what you heard?
Well, my reaction is, what you've seen in the video doesn't really tell the true story.
Which videos?
I was there
on
a daily basis.
Videos?
Yeah, the practice videos. I was there on a daily basis, and it was tough, mentally on some of these kids. And it was a lot worse on a day-to-day basis. I mean, when you got kids, seeing psychologists and having anxiety attacks and, even some kids contemplating suicide, it was, a lot harder than people know. So don't just look at the videos. You got to look at the day-to-day of what was going on every day. Can you just imagine you going to work and somebody just belittling you, embarrassing you, berating you each and every day for one simple mistake? For 2 years, some kids can't take that.
That said, and the fact that you worked in concert with Mike Rice, and that's obvious by your observations right there, you know the man, you heard him speak with John Barr. Did he sound sincere and contrite to you?
It's hard to say. I don't know what he's been doing for the last 3 years. They said he was supposed to complete some classes. There's documents that those classes weren't completed. There's things that he was supposed to do that he was supposed to pay for. We understand that those things were not paid for. So I don't know what Mike Rice has been doing for the last 3 years. Obviously, the things that you saw in the video, he's going to change. He's not going to throw a basketball at another player. He's not going to kick another player. But for me, what's most important is the mental aspect of every day being in practice where basketball is a game full of mistakes. And, if a kid makes one mistake, you don't embarrass the kid for 10 minutes and shut down the practice and totally embarrass the kid. That's what I'm more worried about than anything, is just the mental approach.
I'm going to play a piece of audio tape. You've doubtless heard it before. It's from late in 2012. It's a recording of you. You did not, by all accounts, make this recording. It was acquired by the Chronicle of Higher Education from Rutgers and a Freedom of Information request. And let's play it. This is your voice.
We all have bitten our tongue. Because why? Because he's the boss. And you got to respect the boss. I've done that. I respected the boss for 2 years. Even though there's a lot of things I disagree with, I respected my position. And didn't say anything. Did it. Whatever you want me to do, I'm doing it. All right, Rice, You know, we need to give these kids confidence. We don't need it for what? I play at the highest level. It means the world when your head coach is giving players confidence. But no, we're just going to crack the whip. We're just going to crack the whip until they can't go anymore. Cheating motherfuckers like slaves, just cracking the whip. Just, that's all you're doing. You're cracking the whip. And when the motherfucker can't deliver, you cut his toe off like Luther King did.
The voice of Eric Murdoch from late June 2012, back with us now outside of the lines. Give me some context. Obviously, you're upset. Obviously, there's some profanity there. You're obviously speaking about the coaching situation with Mike Rice. But the context of that conversation is what?
I mean, I was just frustrated.
You'd just been fired, right?
It was just a culmination of 2 years of us trying to talk to this man about how his method is counterproductive, how his best ball players is going the other way, that he needs to change how he coaches these guys. These kids are 17 years old, 18 years old, with aspirations of going to the NBA, and they come to me as the director of player development saying, is this how the Big East is? And I'm trying to tell them that, no, it's not. You know, I've never seen anything like that on any level. And it was just a matter of me trying to protect these kids. You know, I would go to these assistant coaches who are above me. You know, a couple of them were black. And, you know, in this business, when you're a black man, you just don't go above the head coach and get someone fired. You try to talk to them. You try to relate to them that, you know, these methods and these means are counterproductive.
Did you tell Mike Rice, when you were speaking to other staff members, I understand, in that conversation, Mike Rice, from all accounts I've seen, was behind a closed door nearby. Did you ever express similar sentiments directly to Mike Rice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't tell you how many conversations I had with Mike Rice about changing how he's coaching some of these players, because these players confided a lot in me as the director of player development, someone who played in the NBA 9 years. 90% of Division I basketball players think they're going to the NBA. And I was there to not thwart their dreams, but to let them know that there's a bigger world out there, that, you know, you can be successful not playing in the NBA. But for them to come in there, you know, to the Big East with those aspirations and to be treated like that, it was just, you know, unfair to those kids. And
we've got 10 seconds. I just want to ask you: did it sound to you in the conversation you heard that Mike Rice has changed?
You know, I do believe in second chances.
Okay.
And you know, everybody deserves a second chance, but I wouldn't let him coach my son.
Okay. And
just
again,
being there on a day-to-day basis, seeing the mental abuse, I wouldn't let him coach my son.
Of course, you're involved in a legal action against the university, against Mike Rice. Eric, I appreciate your being with us today outside the lines. Eric Murdoch.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Outside the Lines, 25 years of reporting. 2005. Former world chess champion Bobby Fischer confronts OTL's Jeremy Schaap regarding an article Schaap's father Dick had written about Fischer.
Did you read the article where he said I don't have a sane bone in my body?
Honestly, I'm not sure if I read it, but I know that he said it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know that you've done much here today, really, to disprove anything he said.
Don't miss our anniversary special Tuesday on ESPN.
And now, for Geico's edition of Stuff Found in Your Car, we go inside your side door pocket.
Hello, yes, the crumpled receipt with gum in it. From your anniversary dinner, you sprang for expensive wine, your server was Beth. That dinner was a couple $100s. Money you could get back if you switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. I bet you'd save that receipt. Frame it even. But really, where did I go wrong? Was it the corkage fee?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com today.
Tonight, 7-ish, and the All-Star starters are announced on Baseball Tonight, 8 Eastern, Giants and Nets. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, over on ESPN2 with OTL. Here are the sports reporters now.
Well, on that note, folks, I think I'm going to prepare to close out, wind down, and come back again next week. We'll be right back.